7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, he being Paul. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. So that I don't get in trouble, the title of what I want to talk to you about this morning is In the Windowsill. Have you ever taken things at your house, plants, knickknacks, whatnots? I've seen people put their rings in windowsills and knock them off into the drain of the sink. But have you ever sat things in the windowsill and they fall off? Now, you didn't set them there intentionally for the falling of what it was that you placed. Let me put this plant in the window so that it falls and makes a mess. We don't do silly things like that. We've got Paul that's like on his third mission trip, and man, he's been through a rough case, but he is still tied to Jesus so much so that he's willing to continue to go on. That's my prayer for you this morning, is that you don't become weakened and faint in the race, but yet you find a way to finish that race that was set before you. Actually, the race that we speak of when we talk about that, a lot of us may think it's like a turkey dash. Is that what they call them? Drumstick dash. It's a little casual jog. The actual Greek word for the race is ago, where we get the word agony. So, to continue the race set before you. But anyway, Paul has come back, and his disciples, and these aren't the 12 disciples that these are disciples. These are followers of Christ, that and they've gathered in this upper room, and here Paul is speaking to them. I can picture Paul just coming in and having gone through what he has gone through, and having to pull himself together to speak to a people. pulling up a chair. And, you know, when you've gone through a thing and people know that you've gone through a thing, they have a tendency to lend their ear. That's why I say that, and this is why it's so important for us as a body of believers to understand that you don't come to church so that you're fed all the time. You come to church that you feed. There's a difference. But so many times we wander through the week in our complacency that we come and we're empty. My job is just to teach you how to do the gospel. What you're always wanting to hear the gospel. But Paul's sitting and he's talking to these disciples, and the Bible said that there's many lamps. There were many lamps inside the room. See, I don't know about you, but if it's taking lamps to light a room, I would want to be a part of that lit room. But there was this certain man that was sitting in the window. So if you can picture this with me just for a moment, half of his body was exposed to the light of the room. The other half of his body was exposed to the darkness of the night. Are you following me? He's sitting in this windowsill, and Paul's getting ready to leave. It's like his benediction. He said, I'm going to let it all hang out, and I'm giving you everything I got. When I'm done, my tank's going to be empty, and here you go. It's like kids on the ball court. They leave it on the floor. Our coach used to tell us to leave it on the field. Don't you come running off of this field celebrating and being excited. You leave it all on the field. You should come off of this field exhausted because you give it all you had. This man sitting in the window reminds me of some of us. See, we don't mind going and being in the room so much as long as we can keep some of us out of the room. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about you. You want this half in the light, but you want the other half. Maybe I can express it like this. And it's not, hear me, it's not that you're intentional on keeping some of it in the dark. It's not that you're intentional. You're not wanting to fall. After all, you love Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, many of us walk with half in the dark and half in the light. And what we don't realize and what we don't understand is that your body reacts to darkness. I didn't know any of this. And when you're in the dark, some of you are probably going to try it on me this morning. When you're in the dark, it sends signals to a spot in the back of your brain that releases melatonin, which causes you. You're not wanting to go to sleep intentionally. It's just the fact that you, as they were saying, sinking into sleep. It's not that you come back and you laid back in a chair and went, all right, Pastor's getting ready to preach. Yeah, it's not that you do that, and I dare not say that you do that. I'm saying that in the darkness, our body reacts. Doesn't sound so bad, right? I mean, this is, after all, this is how we go to sleep. But what if I was to tell you that even in your life, you have portions exposed to darkness, and it causes you to sink into a sleep? Not intentionally. I mean, you may not be out committing adultery intentionally, and you know that stuff has to, you've got to make a decision. You are you with me? Yeah. I'm talking about the things that we don't think, it's okay. And some of us may not even be convicted at moments in that area, because God is busy working in another area in your life, and He's trying to grow you to that, because God knows if He was to come to you right now this morning and tell you about some things in your life that He wants you to cut away and do away with, you would walk away from Him before. Come on, church. Listen, you can't be made whole unless you're willing to surrender. You can't get, and some of you may be even struggling with trying to get closer to God. You're in the fight of getting closer to God. You're really wanting to get closer to God, but you don't seem as though you can get any closer. Can I present to you that possibly you're sitting half in the dark? Or you're sitting in the windowsill. Oh, you want to hear what's going on, but do you really want to participate? Oh, you know that there's a possibility that God can set you free, but do you really want to surrender to be set free? Here's the danger behind that. Because over time, you begin to sink into sleep, which causes you to fall. Not only just fall to your death. Man, what Paul is talking about here is real life. Many of us are sinking into a sleep that's going to overtake us if we are not careful. You're not sitting in the windowsill with the intentions of falling to sleep. Right. I mean, anybody in their right mind is not going to sit in an open window with the intention of going to sleep. If you are, go see a psychiatrist, because that's crazy. We wouldn't dare. Man, that's like, let me ride on top of the car. I'm not so much after this morning of the dark side in which you tend with, as much as I am about the light side you need to be more intentional about. We have to be intentional on being a part of the light. wonder what you're willing to change. I wonder what you're willing to do differently. Are you persistent in the fact that you would rather sit in the sill of a window and hope nothing happens? Are you okay with the thought of there's a strong probability that something can happen if you sit there too long? If you don't believe me, go home, take out your window, sit in the sill, and sit there all night. Don't get up. Sit there. Sit there when you're tired. I feel that the church itself struggles with this windowsill. Because we live life however, when no one's looking. And we live differently when the light's on us. And I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid that some of us sit in a windowsill not really knowing that there are things in our life that are causing us to fall to sleep. I would hate the thoughts that you wake up one day, per se, dead, and find that you have fallen asleep, and sleep overcame you. Are you intentional? Do you really understand the gamble that you take by sitting in the windowsill? See, it doesn't seem like it's going to hurt. After all, it's only one time. It doesn't seem like it's all that bad. Yes, I'm coming not to hurt feelings, but I'm coming to provoke this morning. After all, let the kids dream. It only happens. What's it really hurting? We're sitting in a windowsill. If you was to give me opportunity to sit with you, and I had something that could either calls you to die or calls you to live, what would you take? Come on, I'm asking a question. So you would prefer option A over option B. Why do we sit on the windowsill when we're given the options? I fear that we take and we strip the word in hopes that it performs exactly how I need it to. But the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Absolutely, I will agree. But if you're using it to make yourself feel good, you're setting in the windowsill. But God's love, so surely He wouldn't send me to a place called hell. He's not sending you. You chose to go that direction. He threw a life raft and you chose to tread water. We're sitting in a windowsill. How much of your life is exposed to the darkness? Have you ever sat and asked yourself, what part of my life is not exposed to the light? Where is the enemy coming in and destroying me without me even knowing it? It's the things I'm afraid of that we as Christian people are making Christianity fit our mold and our belief. See, I don't care what you believe and what you don't believe, you don't change the fact, nor will you ever change the fact, that God is and God always will be God. You don't have to believe in Him to make Him. He said that He looked around. He tried to find somebody to swear by, and He couldn't find anybody greater than Himself, and He swore on His own merit. I mean, when you ain't got nobody else, who do we think? See, we don't say, God, be bigger in our life, or be glorified in our life, or be magnified in our life, as if we're making Him grow. It's we're allowing Him to become bigger in our life. Not that His existence is small. It's that He becomes bigger, consuming our life. We ask for... Some of the songs we sing and some of the prayers we pray are so flippant. Sometimes I cringe when I hear people go, I want to see God's glory. And all the... I'm going, you want to what? Do you really know, like, where you are in life? We just think God's glory is the blessing. But God's glory will kill a thing. And sometimes it's you. See, we wouldn't approach God the way we approach God on on times that we choose to come together in one mind and one accord. We wouldn't approach him in the manner in which we do if we knew that we were still in the days of God opening up the floor and we gone. See, I believe that some of us would fall deep into the works of Christianity if we knew that that was still the case. We would be out there in sackcloth and ashes too, scared to come. We'd beat ourselves for 12 days before we come through the door. We would fast for 6 months. Okay, fine. You're much better than I am. I'm just telling. I'd be at home in my closet with a bottle, 1 16-ounce bottle of water, trying to survive for 45 days. Oh, I'd be rocking back and forth and putting ashes on my head. I'd be doing a whole. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'd be doing all kinds. Just knowing the fact that God's sovereignty, I'm going to walk into his sovereignty. No, I'm not calling you to a religion this morning. I'm not calling you to become fearful this morning. I'm wanting to provoke your spirit and open your eyes in some way to let you know that we all sit in a windowsill. And we best be extremely careful, because what we are not intentional on, it is now becoming intentional to us. If the enemy can creep, he's coming. He doesn't have to go. Y'all waiting for the big hitting you in the knee with a baseball bat kind of break. He ain't doing. He's going after the fingernail first. Just get a little chip. Just something to aggravate you. Just give you a hangnail so you catch it on a piece of. Ow! And you, poor things, you get all flustered over a hangnail. This is what I'm talking about, because first it's the hangnail. Then it's more. Sooner or later, what was just a hangnail has now become an amputation. Just like mine in your life. First, it's this. Ah, what does it hurt? I'm guilty. Y'all wasn't ready for me to say that, were you? I'm guilty. And so are you. This bothers me. That I have things that I expose my back to the darkness. See, I have to be intentional on moving inside to where the light is. I'm not telling you that I'll open my life up to sin intentionally. And I would say most of you probably don't do that as well. But what I'm here to warn you of this morning is be intentional to keep away from the things that we think, oh, it's only a costume. I see some of the crazy people get on Facebook and just, I mean, ruthless. and they go after. I mean, just this past Halloween, I'm reading some of the remarks, and boy, my thumbs, it's one of my thumbs, don't get arthritis because I type so much on the phone, and then I delete, and then I type, and then I delete, and then I type, and then I delete. Because I'm coming after you one day. One day I'm just going, boom, uh-oh, Debbie! You got their phone number, call them! Or right after that, don't accept anything from me, I've been hacked. See, we do think because it's not that you're intent, and please listen to me. It's not that you're intentional on you want to dress your kids for Halloween because you know it's of Satan and you know that it was a pagan holiday and you know it was the day that they believed that all the dead would come back to life, and the only reason for the costume was to disguise themselves so that they wouldn't be overtaken by what was coming after them, so that they could confuse. I know that you knew all of that, and you. Yeah. I know you're not being intentional. I just want you to be aware. See, when you choose, listen to me. I'm getting ready to get in a teaching on the ecclesia. Because there's something way more than, and we're missing it. But it's my job to you as the ecclesia to cover you and to keep you within the confines of God's word so that no harm become of you. But the more that you choose to sit in the windowsill, the least opportunity I have, come on, follow me, the least opportunity I have to teach and to preach to you, because eventually you will sink into sleep over time, not knowing to your death. I'm trying to help you this morning. We do things out of tradition. And the Bible warns us of our tradition. It is your tradition that makes the gospel of no avail. You take and strip the power of the gospel because of your. Well, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? Just hate? No, I'm not telling you to hate anybody about doing anything. I'm just saying you need to become more intentional. Do I care if you got a Christmas tree up? No. Guilty. Got one at the house. I ain't put it up. Don't want to put it up. But it's there. It's pretty. And again, am I sitting in a windowsill? I know y'all ain't going to like, y'all don't, I've always said I'll never preach my convictions, and I'm not. You do as you see fit for your family. I'll deal with me and mine. Don't talk about me, because I'll pray that the fleas from 1,000 camels will jump into your bed as you go to sleep. But there's so many things in our life that we can participate in and things in our life that we do. And it's not, we don't do it intentionally. It's just the fact that we're doing it and leaving our backs exposed to the dark. And it's causing melatonin to be released in your life. Ecclesia, hear me. This is why, see now, I can't teach on the ecclesia, but this is why the ecclesia has no more authority. Do you know, side note, do you know that they had to have 6,000 people available and in the meeting of the ecclesia to make a decision? To put something in force? 6,000 people in the ecclesia had to be there to cast the vote. Well, if you had 6,000 people up in the church to cast the vote, boy, ain't nothing getting passed. Come on, you Baptist believers. The color of the carpet is going to be red. Lord, I pay my tithes. Why the color on the wall got to be blue? Why can't we do something like earth tone or something? What do you mean we're going to have Christmas dinner on the 24th? At 10, ain't we supposed to be meeting with the Lord at 10 o'clock? We can't agree with a handful. And it took 6,000. They put things in law. 6,000. We would rather just leave with frowns on our face or not putting our tithes in the plate or not singing that one song. And you're not only, God, don't let me preach about the ecclesia this morning. And it's not just hurting you, but it's hurting the body, because you've chosen to be a part, but yet you're still so separated that you're not even a piece of a part. We should be, God, get me off of the ecclesia. We should be able to surround someone and speak life. We should be able to come to you and rebuke you in your sin, and you take it. Because it's not out of having dominion. Oh, listen, I got a crazy enough family of my own. I don't need your crazy family too. It takes all I got just to monitor and keep mine together. I ain't got time for, I don't want dominion over your life. I just want to protect your soul, because that's what I was called to. Get that crazy, I almost said a word. Get that dung out of your head. Pastor ain't trying to rule your, Dennis, I don't want to come to your house and try to tell her what to cook. I can't tell mine what to cook. It don't never turn out right for me either. All I want to do is to warn you and to protect you and to help keep you from exposing your back to the dark. I wept over you this morning. It's dangerous where you're sitting. It's dangerous where I'm sitting. See, I'm not going to give you a chance to go to dinner and go, well, the pastor thinks it's dangerous where I am, but he thinks he's got it all together. No, I don't. I have problems. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But Paul went down. Hear me. The man brought it on himself. What was his name again? Eucalyptus. He chose to sit in the windowsill. Although Paul was preaching and teaching, he sank into sleep and fell to his death. And Paul went down. And the Bible says that he fell upon him. And he said, don't worry, his life is in him. Have you ever felt like you sank into sleep? And you've fallen. Look, there might be one or two or five or 12 or how many ever, 30 of you sitting in here this morning that have fallen to your death. I got news for you. When Paul went down, it's just a picture. It was just a picture. You remember, Dennis, I can talk to you because me and you been there. Remember when we was dead in our sin? You remember that, Dennis? Oh, boy. I'm going to tell you, we was living large. We was busting hell wide open and having fun. See, y'all don't want to hear all that. But we was having fun in our own stuff. We had fallen and didn't even realize it, and we had fallen to death and we didn't even know it. But there was a man that decided one day that I'm going to step from here to here, and I'm going to cover you. I'm going to fall over you. And I told everybody, don't worry about it. Life is still in him. That's why we can still talk about it and laugh. You were there. Before he come out of glory, you was there, dead in your transgressions. Had fallen asleep, not intentionally. Well, maybe the twist of the top was intentional. I don't know. I mean, come on. I'll take the laughs as an amen because, see, if you don't realize where you are in your state, you'll never realize who you need. But maybe you have fallen. And you're waiting on that somebody. See. I'm not coming to you to tell you to stop things because I want to rule you. I'm not coming to you, Dawn, to say don't act like that to Dennis. To rule you, I'm just helping you. All of y'all want a good marriage. Don't want to have no issues. Don't want to have no problem. But as soon as I tell the man he needs to submit a little bit, he pulls out the Bible. Nope. The Bible says, woman, submit to your own man. But it also says, man, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That means put away your arrogancy and your steel fist ruling. And love her. How do you love her? Listen, funny or not funny, just do what she says. No, I'm joking. I can't wait. We're going to do marriage again in this church. I can't wait. I want to do it on a weekend. See, how committed are you? See, you'll spend $50, $70, $100. How much you pay to go watch a football game sometime? $200. We'll spend a ticket. And now he got one, a two, a three that he's getting ready to do it for. Just to watch a foot. Boy, you go reconsider. He's going to be going, let me count the ways. Nope. Turn it on channel 13.
It's free.
Well, this is what we do. We will invest in things in life that appeases the flesh to bring us happiness, but we are not so committed in going to the light to pay for things that could very well save. Boy, okay. See, I ain't never been there because God kept me out of it. He knew I didn't have no money, so I didn't know how much money it would have cost anyway to go through a divorce, but I'm sure. Cheaper to keep her. That's what my daddy told me. So I held to that truth. 31 years. She's still in the back. Oh, no. It wasn't without God's grace. We've refused to invest to what brings us life and hope and peace. See, y'all still hung up on the money. I left money 15 minutes ago. I'm talking about your time, your thoughts, your ways. Well, Pastor, I don't want to hear, but see, that y'all don't want to hear either side of it. If it's got anything to do about bringing responsibility into your lap and your home, you will, Pastor. Now, you can do what you want to do to your house. That's your house. That's your palace. But don't you come over here. But you wonder why she keeps burning your biscuits. Or the food's cold when you get home. Well, I ain't got no clean drawers to go to work today. We got to turn on all the lights so I can see your eyes, make sure you're looking at me. Listen, that right there is a profound truth that'll keep some of your marriages together for at least 5 more years. I'm just telling you. We don't want to invest anything. We just want everything. That's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom says, watch this, I love it. The kingdom says, seek and you'll find. Y'all said, waiting on the Lord. Well, keep sitting there waiting. You're going to be going like this until eternity. Waiting on the Lord. He says, seek and you'll find. He said, draw close to me, then I'll draw close. And most of you just going, waiting on the Lord. Just waiting on the Lord. Well, keep waiting on the Lord. You want a friend? Be friendly. See, you got to do something first. And see, you don't like to do that. You want to receive, give. Uh-oh. They went right that. All they seen was dollar signs. As soon as you say give, they see dollar signs. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Maybe sometimes the exposure to the darkness on your back isn't so detrimental to where it brings a physical death or a spiritual death, but maybe it's one that will bring you a lack. Okay, all right, all right, all right, all right, let's go. Y'all can put this in your calendar. This will be the first time I've taught on money for a while. And we don't need it. I don't have to have it. Where'd it go? Church got money in the funds we give to people. Amen. We do things. It's look, God don't need your money. And thank God he said, hey, you don't either. I said, all right. That's why I can preach to you like I preach to you. I ain't worried about you firing me. They didn't vote me in. They can't vote me out. Anyway, y'all with me? Some of the things that we have that we're facing lacking very well may be financially. And I understand that. I'm going to tell you, that was probably one of the hardest seasons in my life, was fighting through the lack and still holding true to my faith. Gosh, man, that's hard. That's hard because God don't want anything wrong. He don't want anything bad. Listen, he don't want your lights turned out. That's not what he's after. He actually wants your lights turned on. Never mind. But there's things in our life that we lack because we're not willing to give. See, some of y'all are sitting there, you're waiting on the 30, 60, 100-fold blessings. And the only thing God's really held to, for some of you, is just to keep the devourer from you. Because that's dealing with your tithes. Your 30, 60, 100-fold is what you give above and... Come on, y'all. Please don't take us the wrong way. I'm just trying to help you. I'm not asking you to give money in the offering plate. Listen. I learned a long time ago. It's not all about what I give to the church and to the ecclesia. It's about what I give. Just follow me for a minute. Okay, I don't have to tell you all the other stuff. I give just as much out there as I give here. Well, how much is that? It ain't none of your business. I don't do so you can see. You ain't the one blessing me, no way. Even if you did come up and give me a holy handshake this morning for $100, Brian. I was winking at him just in case you didn't see it. It was God that put it on your heart. Believe what you want to. believe what you want to. I'm telling you now, my God is faithful and he is just. That man will bless me going into the city and coming out from the country. He'll bless me in the fields. He'll bless me anywhere I go. Anything I lay my hands on, he'll bless it. Why? Because I don't care if I got it or not. He knows if I've got it, you got it. If I can do it, I will. See, you got to understand all this. I'm trying to help you. And it's not a, it was two mites. Come on, church. It was two mites. It ain't about, I can't give $1,000. I didn't sit up here and tell you if you give $1,000, he's going to release 1,000 miracles. I didn't say that. I wish 1,000 camel fleas would be released. I can't sell God's blessings on your life. It don't matter to me to a certain extent. It matters to me when I see people in the ecclesia in lack. That matters to me because I'm going, wait a minute, God. So it's not to be so. Oh, I can't wait to get into that teaching. But Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, and said, do not be troubled, for his life is in him. And he ended it by going back upstairs and getting something to eat. That's what he said. He said it. Now when he went up and broke bread, he went back upstairs and they got something to eat. He celebrated him. What I like about some of this is the fact that he wasn't just left. That Paul still went down. And I want to tell you that you and I, we've exposed some things, and some things may have crept over our life and caused us to go to sleep in some areas in our life. But you don't have to stay there. You're not bound to what it was that even you might have self-inflicted. Uh-oh. You mean I've done that? That wasn't the enemy? Some of y'all's biggest devils is yourself. Because you choose to do it a certain way. Your arrogance, your egos, your pride, your scuttlebutt talk. Y'all know. You know what scuttlebutt talk is? You want me to explain? Okay. Scuttlebutt is a water fountain. That's what they call a water fountain in the Navy. And most conversations happen around the scuttlebutt. So most people gossip around the scuttlebutt. That's why you don't ever see anybody drinking out of that one. Because I preached about it one Sunday, and I went out there, and there was like three or four women around it. And I went, what y'all over here scuttlebutting? And they just looked at me, and they went, and that. I ain't seen nobody drink out of that water fountain since. I love this church. There's just things that you're exposing to the dark, and I'm trying to help you this morning. I don't want to see you fall, and I don't want to see anything overtake you. It's harder to come out of it when it overtakes you. Well, it was just one glance. I'm trying to help you. It was just one Sunday. Now he's putting condemnation about church. Now I'm just telling you, you ought to be scared to death to miss a word. You ought to be scared to death to get around some people that went through some hell this week and they survived it. And now they might be able to tell you how to make it out of what you're going in. I know you don't want nobody knowing your business and everybody want to talk about it. Not in here. I'm not going to let them. The first person I ever find in here grabs somebody's personal information or private information instead of helping them and spreading gossip, I'll throw you out of the church. You can like me or dislike me. It ain't going to matter. You're not going to come and destroy what God's trying to build. Man, we should be so much into one another that we want to know what's going on. How can I help you? And no, guess what? You're not going to call me every day and get help from me. I might say, I can't help, but I tell you what we'll do. We can pray right now and we'll pray. I might not be able to come and be. I can't save anybody. Nobody. If I can give you a hand up, I will. If I can't, I'll call Dennis. He ain't got nothing to do. He's retired. Jeff's retired. He can help. Mike, he's retired. Man, I got a house full. Anybody got any problems? We got a bunch of people retired. Ain't got nothing going on. They'll help you right along. You're right. You're close. Don't laugh. He's laughing at you, Dennis. Go ahead. Throw something. I'm fine. Just let me get out the way. I want you to end with a light heart. But I want you to know I'm serious. Anything can happen. And most of the bad things that happen to people have crept in. Don't let it creep in on you. Men, don't let it creep in on your family. Jeff, I'm prophesying over your life right now that you're going to make her mad. You're going to make her mad. But sometimes, women, stop trying to run the show. Man, I need to save that for marriage stuff. Stop trying to run the show. Let your man be a man. That's a problem with us now. We got families that are twisted up because the men too much like women. You have no backbone. You have no spine. You have nothing about you. You're walking with a jelly backbone. You won't take a stance. So what? Mama doesn't want you to discipline the child. Marriage. Tomorrow. I got to get it out. Y'all have to know I love you. You have to. I don't know how. You have to know. And I'm not after your wallets. I'm not after the dominion of your home. I'm not after making sure that you buy the right cars and live in the right house. I'm not after any of that. I just want to protect your soul the best I can. Yeah. And sometimes it takes you being humble. Mm-hmm. I might scream and get mad and frustrated and throw a chair or stand on one, but I love you. There's nothing else that drives me to do what I do other than the love that I have for the people of God. Nothing. Jeff, if it was a big check, then I'd say, hey, fall off the window. I'm going to the bank. I don't want you to fall off the window. I don't mind you fall inward. Somebody just tie off to your neighbor with your belt and just hold it. Say, I know you're tired and I know you're weary and I know you got your back to the darkness, but here, I'm going to wrap this around you. And if you go to go, I've got some leverage. You just... Don't let this world pull you. As attractive as the seasons are, don't let this world pull you. See, you want your kids to dream. Let me spank Christmas. You want your kids to be dreaming and hopeful on Santa riding sleighs. I hope your children know. Okay. There's no other younger ones in here. You're adults. If you're still believing in Santa, I'll talk to you. If your daddy won't. Eli, if you're waiting on jingle bells, it ain't going to happen. Come here, son, and I'll take care of that for you. Listen, Pastor, I'm not overstepping the boundary. You want your children to dream, and God is saying, I want your children to think. Think on these things. I make you mad? Come back. Come back. I'm sorry. He's okay. He's just going potty. He's going, man, Dad lied to me.